My name is Matt Dempster. If I haven't met you before, I would love to. And I am one of the pastors here at the church, in charge of the youth and the worship. And I am have the privilege of being able to bring the message this morning. We planned it ahead of time, but it actually worked out that Mark was not feeling well today, so he's not here, which is great. He just needs a break. He's having trouble with one of his feet, and just he's had a flu, cold, whatever thing for about a week now. So just be praying for him, not feeling well and a little discouraged, I think. And so in a minute I'll pray and we'll pray for him as well. But I wanted to open up this morning and talk a little bit about some of the confusing messages that we get kind of all the time, but even especially during this season when we're talking about Jesus and Christmas and his coming. I found some, I'll start, yeah, here's one of them right here. I found that these aren't specifically Christmas, but I found some street signs, some messages, just confusing. What's confusing about this? Keep right, pointing left. And by the way, I usually run my PowerPoint off my computer. It freaked out this morning. So Shea back there is pinch hitting. And just every time I go like this, Shea will switch slides. So anyways, let's have the next one. How about that? No pets allowed. All pets must be on a leash. All right. Confusing message. What's the next one? Soccer not allowed. Soccer may only be played in the archery range. That would be an exciting game of soccer. Hunger Games soccer. All right. How about this one? You got to really think about this. We offer three kinds of service: good, cheap, and fast. You can pick any two. So good service cheap won't be fast. Good service fast won't be cheap. And fast service cheap won't be good. You take your pick on which of those you want. What's the next one? If vegetarians eat veggies, what do humanitarians eat? They eat beef. I don't know. How about this, even written in a foreign language. Attention dog guardians, pick up after your dogs. Thank you. Attention dogs, grr, bark, woof. Good dog. All right, there we go. This one. Have you guys seen this one before? A little harsh. Unattended children will be given an espresso and a free puppy. That is a recipe for disaster right there, let me tell you. And we have 0% off selected items today. You can see the guy up there, he dropped the whatever the other number was. I'm sure that wasn't his intended message. And this is my favorite, a little bit too literal. The Republican, where the news hits home. And you can see he actually ran into a home. Okay? Confusing messages. Unlike these confusing, convoluted, crazy messages, the message we're hopefully going to be getting from God today in the passage that we're looking at is super clear, and it is truly good news. That's my hope as we go through this. It's not even my hope. It is good news. So let's review a little bit. We started last week talking about, we can go to the next slide. Talking about the servant songs. And if you don't know what those were, a guy back in the late 1800s named Bernard Dunn coined the phrase servant songs for four passages that are in the book of Isaiah that talk about, they're prophetic passages that talk about the coming Messiah. And his name in the passages is the servant of the Lord, all right? So when I say servant of the Lord, it's synonymous with Messiah, and I might even just throw in Jesus in there, but it's all about Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. So this is 725 years before Jesus was ever born. And because of that, because Isaiah is so full of Jesus, it's often called the fifth gospel, right? We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and 725 years before Jesus came, we have the book of Isaiah. Mark, last week, and these were all talking about the servant of the Lord that's going to bring about salvation to the world and accomplish his purposes through the rest of the world, through the nation of Israel, okay? And that'll become clear as we go through this. But last week, Mark brought the first I looked at the first passage, which is in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. And he introduced us to this character, this servant of the Lord. And he highlighted four qualities of this person. And does anyone remember? And no, you can't look at a past bulletin or notes. You gotta just, no, you can't. I don't care. What do you remember any of those qualities of that servant of the Lord if you were here last week? Four of them. Humility. Yeah, he was a humble servant. That was good. That was a good guess. Anyone else? Got it? Yes. He was a dependent servant. He was dependent on the Lord. Okay. He was humble. He was dependent. We've got two of the four. Any more? Persevering. I heard persistent. Persevering. He was a persevering spirit. He was going to, servant. He's going to make it happen through the power of God. He was persevering even under opposition. And then the last one was that he was just. Okay. So we've got this servant of the Lord who's dependent, he's humble, persevering, and he's just. And so week one was really about who is this guy? What's his character? All right? Introducing us to the character of this servant of the Lord. Now today, we're going to go through the second of the servant songs, which is in chapter 49 of Isaiah. And it's really talking about the mission and the message. Okay, this is the meat and potatoes of what was he sent to do and how was he going to do it? Okay, and that's what we really want to hit today. Let me pray and then we'll go ahead and read the passage. Father God, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, we're so thankful for the hope that we find, God, what you even thinking of us and our need for a Savior all through the Old Testament. And I pray that as we look at your word today, that you will reveal the glory and the excitement and the wonder, God, of you and your provision for us, God, sending down your love to show us tangibly in the form of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord. We pray that this morning, God, you'll be with Mark and that you will bless him and comfort him and bring healing to his body, God. And we look forward to being back with him next week. But, Lord, we just ask for him that you will heal him, Father. And Lord, we look forward to just ask that you open our hearts and our minds to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of quick notes before we dive into the passage. This is a dialogue. So as we read it, it'll become clear that it's really the servant of the Lord speaking as we read this passage. And he's speaking and he's having this back and forth a little bit dialogue with God. So it's the servant of the Lord talking to the Lord. And so you'll understand that as we go through it. Also, one thing that can be a little confusing, in verse 3 when we read it, God refers to the servant of the Lord as Israel. And so you could come to think that he's speaking to the nation of Israel, but really what he's doing is he's speaking, if you conclude that, then it contradicts the final two verses of the passage, where God is calling Israel to bring the tribes of Jacob back. And so what we're really dealing with here is, as I read through and studied, was it's God saying this is the true Israel, or my servant of the Lord is who Israel should have been, if that makes sense. Do you guys know what the original mission of the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel, what their original mission was? Let's think back though to the covenant between God and Abraham. What did God tell Abraham? Yes, this is exactly what in Genesis 12, 1-3, God says to Abram. He says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So the mission of Israel, missioned first through Abraham and that covenant, an unconditional covenant, and then through Moses and onward, was that always God chose his people so that they would be a blessing to the whole earth. That people would be able to come and know who God is through rubbing shoulders with the nation of Israel. All right. That they would display the glory of God. And then as people experience that, they would be cut to the quick and want to also come into relationship with God. That was the mission of Israel. Now, what happened? They didn't remain faithful, right? The mission was a failure. And ultimately, what God accomplished was not through the nation of Israel, but through the true Israel, his son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's what we see when we see in this passage him calling the servant of the Lord Israel. Let's go ahead and read this. I don't have it down here, so I'm going to read it up here. And this is in the NIV, Isaiah 49, 1 through 6. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. And now we have the servant speaking. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God. And now the Lord says, but again, this is the servant speaking. He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, now we have the Lord speaking, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. What a great passage, huh? And seen in the light and the context of what we know on this side, I mean, amazing. 725 years before Christ was born. I want to talk quickly, you can leave it there for now. As I was preparing, I titled the message The Baby Messenger, but I think a better term is ambassador. And as I looked at it, I think ambassador more embodies who this servant of the Lord really is. And this is just the dictionary definition of ambassador. An official envoy, especially a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign. Does that make sense? A lot of words in there. Basically, this person goes to a foreign country, and in who they are, what they say, what they do, everything that is them is giving a message to this country of who the other country is. They're a full representative in all they are to this king or this government that they came from. Okay, I was recently with my wife Johanna. We watched a special on John Adams, and I don't know if any of you've seen that, but it's a really good. Well, there's parts of it that aren't really good, but there's a really good. It gives you a lot of history of that whole time, the War for Independence. Revolutionary War period, and I was especially impressed about learning a lot about Benjamin Franklin. And I don't know how much of you paid attention in elementary school. I must have been absent that day. I did not remember anything. All I remember is Benjamin Franklin flying the kite, right, with the key on it and the electricity thing. That is Benjamin Franklin, right? Yeah, okay. But I'm watching the show. I'm like, really? That Benjamin Franklin did all this? I mean, I won't go into the sordid details of his life, but he was credited as the first American diplomat. Okay, so we've got 1776. We're struggling in our battle, right, as trying to get our independence from England, and pretty quickly our government determined that we need help. We need some serious help. And so Benjamin Franklin is sent over to France to try to get help from France, okay? Well, on the trip over, and this is just a kind of a side fact. On the trip over, you know, he's a guy that's balding a little like I am, and he's cold, and so he starts wearing this fur cap on the boat. And when he gets off the boat in Paris, he is continuing to wear this fur cap, and that was not the style of the day. So think of aristocracy, Europe, you know, they're all wearing the powdered wigs, and he's not fitting in. He's got this frontiersman fur cap on, and he's walking around Paris, and the people of Paris love it, right? They think it's the best thing ever. That they already knew him as an intellectual and a scientist, but now he's got this rough outdoorsman, kind of frontiersman look, this independent nature, and they're eating it up. And so much so that they are, they're putting his likeness on like all kinds of stuff and selling it, like watches, and they're selling plates with his portrait on it and all kinds of stuff, even to the point where the ladies start doing their hair in Benjamin Franklin style, so it looks like his fur cap, right? So here you got this guy, and just a master, right? Because it was all intentional. In fact, when he figured out what was happening, why he was so popular, he sent back to America for a whole shipload of those hats. And so he had enough of them, because he just wore them all the time, everywhere he went. But what he did was, he got the nation of France to fall in love with him. And when they fell in love with him, by proxy, they fell in love with America. And then he didn't go in just pounding this message, we need your help, we need your help. In fact, when you watch, if you ever watch that show on John Adams went over there, and that's who John Adams was. He was just saying, give us some help, give us some help. But Benjamin Franklin was, no, through who I am, I'm going to win this nation over, and then they're going to help us. And that's how he's going to get the message across. That's what happened, too. By 1778, I can't spend too much more time on this, can I? 1778, France had agreed to a peace treaty with America. And of course, we know the end of the story. But by 1779, Benjamin Franklin became the official ambassador to France, and he served there until 1785. Anyway, by who he was, he accomplished his mission and got his message across. And there was response. And I think, similarly, we see that in this servant of the Lord, in the Messiah, as an ambassador. An official messenger entrusted with a much more important message, right? Much more important mission, both verbal and through who he is. He was the physical representative of the one who sent him to show us the glory of God. And we'll talk about more about that mission and message in a minute. But let's quickly, really quickly, go through these verses really quick. And I don't think, we can go to the next slide. There we go, the baby messenger or ambassador. First, he was born with a purpose. In verse 1, yeah, there we go. Verse 1 says, listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me, and from my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. Born with a purpose. Before he's been born, God had named him and said, I've set you apart for my mission. You know, and that was fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, where the angel Gabriel said, he declared the name of Jesus before the conception in Mary's womb. You know, before, in the womb, I called you. Second, we've got God's secret weapon in verse 2. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. God fashioned this servant into a weapon to be brought out at just the right time to accomplish his purposes, to bring back the nation of Israel. So here we got the mission. The mission is restore the tribes of Jacob, nation of Israel. But also we've got an expanded mission, which we'll talk about in a minute. And third, we have, verse 3, we've got Israel's second chance. We already talked about how Jesus is the new Israel, right? He's going to accomplish God's mission, that original call to be a blessing to the whole world. We've also got a second chance for the nation of Israel to be brought back into the fold, right? They've wandered afar. Jesus' mission is to show them the glory of God and bring them back. He said in verse 3, he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." Glory of God. And didn't we see that in Jesus' life? I mean, all the miracles that Jesus performed, all the words he spoke, how he displayed God's glory in showing people that God loves sinners. He loves us, right? And everything and who he was, that message, that diplomatic mission was, God loves you. He cares about you. He longs for you to, you're the lost sheep. He longs to bring you back into the fold. That was his message and his mission. To reveal who God is, display the splendor of the Lord. Now let's move on to verse 4, special delivery. But there's also frustration in this passage. Did you catch that when I read it the first time? And I'll read it again in a second. But have you ever been frustrated when you're trying to communicate with somebody? I mean, all the time, you know? I remember, I'm a child of the 70s, and I remember growing up, and all we had was a rotary phone, right? So you got to memorize the numbers, and you sit there for 5 minutes and get all the numbers right. Half of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But and then you get to the end, right? You're on like seventh number? You get to the seventh number, sixth number, and you get it wrong. And you're like, oh, man, I got to do the whole thing over again. And what amazing it was when you got a push-button phone, you know, or a regular whatever you call that. And all the progression, though, over the years of those phones and communicating by phone. And then right after I graduated college was when I first heard about email. Now I'm really dating myself. But when I first heard about email, and I'm like, oh, how cool. You don't have to talk to someone on the phone. You can just send out an email. But then quickly I discovered, wow, people can really misconstrue what you say. You got to be really careful how you communicate over email. And then to today, when it's all texting, and boy, how many of you have ever gotten a group text and thought it was a single text to you, and you respond personally, and it's like, oh no, that just went out to 100 people. The day I realized that if you text all in caps, you're shouting at somebody. Luckily, what did I learn? That if I put exclamation points behind sentences, that means positive, that means good, you know? But if I don't, then it's just flat, and someone could take it as negative. There's so many ways that miscommunication can happen and frustration can happen, right? Boy, it took me forever to learn what LOL and YOLO means and boy, all that stuff. I almost showed a slide. I didn't show it because I don't know, but it has this car crashed, and the license plate, you know, it's just destroyed, and the license plate says LOL YOLO on it, and you're like, oh, perfect, you know. By the way, YOLO means you only live once, if you didn't know that. Miscommunication, frustration. You hear this frustration. Was Jesus ever frustrated when he tried to, in his mission, trying to communicate his message? All the time, right? Half of Jesus' interactions are with these Pharisees and Sadducees, and he is just frustrated. They're not getting it. And you hear that in what Jesus says in verse 4. He says, or the Messiah, the servant of the Lord, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing at all. Labored in vain. Hear that frustration. And yet, he doesn't despair, because right on the heels of that, he says, yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand. My reward is with God. So I'm frustrated, but I know that my reward is coming from God. I was looking at a parable, and I think this really illustrates it. It's in Matthew chapter 21. And I'm just going to read it, because I feel like this is good. It's prophetic. Jesus is telling this parable to the Pharisees, I think, in the height of this frustration. And this is the parable in Matthew 21 that's about the tenants. if you remember this. And I'm going to read this one really quickly. I don't have it up there, so just if you can turn to it if you got your Bible or just listen. But let me read this. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And here the Pharisees answer, "They'll bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent that vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in his eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them, and they looked for a way to arrest him. But they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. To hear hear that frustration, so badly longs for these people just to see the glory of God and to say, "Yes, we recognize that you came from God and that you're gathering us back." But they couldn't see it. Lastly, verses 5 and 6, we've got the expanded mission. And this is really the good news today. The salvation is not just for the nation of Israel, but it's for the Gentiles as well. Who here is a Gentile? Should see most hands, okay? If you don't know what a Gentile is, it's everyone that's not Jewish is a Gentile. All right. And now the Lord says, verses 5 and 6, and this is the Messiah speaking again, "He who formed me in the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.'" Now that is good news, isn't that? For us, that is amazing news. And again, it reminds me of another parable, and I won't read the whole thing this time, in Matthew 22. And that's the parable of the wedding banquet, if you remember this one. There's a king, he's having a wedding banquet, invites all the nobles and officials to the banquet, and this is what he says, and they all make excuses for not coming. And this is what the king says. He said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go into the street corners, invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. God, through his servant of the Lord, the Messiah, is going to accomplish the original mission of Israel, as promised through Abraham, that the whole world would be blessed through the true Israel. So, what's the good news for today, right? As we're in this season of Advent, of looking forward to Christmas Eve, which is on Christmas Eve this year. What's the good news for us today? That God expanded the mission of his ambassador to be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation reaches to the end of the earth. We are the beneficiaries of that promise. I'm thankful. I am very thankful. And that's not the end of the story, though, right? Because Jesus, in his ministry, extends that same mission and message to us, doesn't he? That we are his hands and feet to the earth, on the earth today. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That as we understand and receive, as the glory of God is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, as we understand God's intent towards us, that he loves us and longs for us to be in relationship with him, brought into that perfect relationship where we've received Jesus as our Savior, where we are sealed forever, going to enjoy eternity with him. As we live in that, we then are then set forth with the same message to display the glory of God to the world through our lives. Really cool. We share in this. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, familiar passage, Great Commission. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the ends of the end of the age.'" We've got the same message, and we've got this, and he's given us the mission as well to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So this season, let's ponder God's provision for us in Christ Jesus. But let's not stop there. Who has God put in your life that needs to see something different? That needs to see some of that glory of the Lord? Needs to experience the wonder of God's love? And maybe that's just through a simple act of kindness, you know, or maybe a word of encouragement at just the right time. Who is it that God's put in your life that needs to experience the wonder, the same wonder we experience in this season, of God's glory in this ambassador seen through your life? So let's wonder in the gift that Christ has given us and share in his mission and his message this season. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, so amazing, God, that you thought of us, that you planned for us, God, that as we see you, Jesus, talked about and speaking about your mission to us in this passage 725 years before your birth, we see your love, God, and we're thankful for it, God. Help us to understand that more and more, to be transformed by it, God, this true, amazing, good news message. And then, Lord, help us, just through who we are, to shine forth that glory, God, to give it back so that others throughout the whole earth can know and experience you, God. That's our prayer. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.